How would you like to get emotionally balanced after relocation or a major life change? Tracy Zhang will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Tracy is she's a relocation coach, breathwork facilitator, and somatic practitioner who supports expats and globally mobile individuals seeking deeper fulfillment, emotional freedom, and a sense of belonging. Now, as I'm saying this, I find it quite interesting that I'm currently almost like a digital nomad, kind of like living in so many different places, and this could be very relevant to me. So I'm wondering about how can someone get emotionally balanced after relocation or a major life change like a divorce or someone dying or a separation or let's say the loss of a job or the loss of a business or some other traumatic life change that making that person decide to kind of travel around the world.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever. Shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction, Lily. And I love the question. I feel like this is the first time we talk to each other, but you already know my life story. So everything you mentioned was something I went through when I was 29 years old. So at that year, I was going through major life transitions, including a divorce, death of my grandma, and I also moved from Hong Kong to Vancouver, where I started a spiritual journey. And that's when I decided to go inward to really learn how to process those emotions that surface through major life transitions, because oftentimes we feel the grief, the sadness, the loneliness, the stress, the anxiety, but very few of us know how to process them or how to acknowledge them. So that is the starting point of my journey, really learning to name those emotions, because for a long time I thought I was just feeling sadness until at some point I saw this term called the ambiguous grief. So this means the invisible losses we experience after a relocation or life transition, such as the loss of belonging, the loss of identity, the loss of community. And when I saw this term, ambiguous grief, I feel suddenly it makes so much sense. And when I began to name this emotion, that is when that emotion began to soften. So that is the very first step towards emotional healing, really learn to name it, acknowledge that. Because in neuroscience, we also have this phenomenon that's called name it to tame it. When the cognitive part of our brain begin to name our emotions, it actually secretes soothing neurotransmitters that can calm down our downstairs brain. So you basically change your body's chemistry when you begin to name your emotions. And so that's how I started my healing journey, through naming those emotions. And later on, I realized that those emotions we feel through transitions such as grief, loneliness, stress, they all live in our body. And those emotions don't disappear just because we understand them logically. The body needs to complete the cycle of activation. So that is how I decided to get into the somatic healing field. So that's a really, really important tool we can use in emotional healing.
Thank you. So tell me more about somatic practices, because what I saw on TikTok is something like shaking, and it was showing basically that when you do this shaking, but I think it needs to be done in a certain way, it will lead towards releasing some anger, frustration, fears, and other negative emotions that are actually somehow stuck in your body and are causing illness or causing you to freeze or to kind of like stop doing what you are supposed to do, or they can even keep you stuck in depression or like a freeze mode where you're just not really operating at your best. So tell us more about somatic practices and the impact on releasing trauma.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. So somatic practice is a body-based practice. So we use, in somatic healing, we use breath, sound, movement to help release those stuck energies in our body. But oftentimes in my practice, I don't go to the release part right away because there are actually the four steps in terms of somatic healing. The very first step is to really allow yourself to find that sensation in your body. So for example, if I'm really feeling stressed or anxious. And then what I want to do is I want to just bring my focus from the mind to the body and ask myself, where do I feel that sensation in my body? Maybe it's a tightness in my chest. Maybe it's a heaviness in my heart. Whatever it is, that's the very first step. We want to find that sensation in the body. And then the second step is just really begin to name it, be present with that. Because so often when we feel this sensation, we tend to create stories from our mind. And then more story lead to more emotion lead to more stories. So what we really want to do is we want to break free from that cycle and just focus on that sensation itself. And when you bring your focus to that sensation, be present with that, you'll be surprised at how quickly it will begin to soften and dissolve. And so that is the second step, really begin to be present with that. And then we want to do the third step is to allow it, just allow it to move through the body however it wants to move through. Because so often we also don't do that. We tend to try to fix something, try to control our environment, control other people so that we can feel better. But instead, what we really want in those moments is just to allow it, accept it. Because when you begin to accept it, it will also begin to soften. And then the last step is what you just mentioned, is to release it, allow it to let go. That's through movement, through shaking, dancing, or through thunding, through breathing as well, because breathwork is also one of my favorite healing modality. When you change your breath pattern, you also change your emotional state. So that's the very last step, just allowing the energy to get out of your system through somatic tools.
Thank you. Let's say if I start breathing heavy, or if I start dancing in the normal way that I dance, will I do anything towards healing? Or do I need to actually hire someone like you, a somatic practitioner, in order to actually release the trauma and the negative emotions that I have?
Yeah, so that's the very first step, is about self-awareness. How much awareness do you bring into your system? Because it doesn't really help if you just do this breathing or somatic movements randomly without knowing what's actually going on in your system. So the very first step is to bring a lot of awareness to yourself, understand your body type, what your nervous system feels like, because different people have different nervous system. What works for other people may not work for you. So the first step is to really understand yourself, understand how your nervous system works. And then the second step is working with a somatic practitioner or therapist, really to allow that person to hold space for you, because sometimes it's really hard to do that on yourself. As a starter, we need to do like co-nourishment, so which means the other person is holding space for you to guide you through this process. And once we did the co-nourishment, the system will begin to learn how to do this on your own. So eventually you will be empowered to do this by yourself. But when you first started, I would definitely recommend working with a practitioner.
Thank you. Tell us about the impact of you leveraging somatic practices in order to release some of your trauma. Did you notice a difference? And if so, what was the difference? Were you like really tense before? And did you notice an improvement, a general improvement in your like how you felt and in your general disposition? And were you taking more action? Were you a bit more free? What was the impact of actually using this kind of somatic practices in order to become emotionally balanced?
Yeah, so I started my journey with mindset work. So there was a time where I read hundreds of self-help books. I feel like I could get a PhD in personal development, but somehow I still feel stuck emotionally and physically. I feel I understand so many things on a cognitive level, but it doesn't help me make me feel better. Because I remember I used to get these recommendation from someone who said, you just need to do these affirmations, say to yourself, I love myself, I love myself. And then I feel like I understand all these things, but I still don't feel that self-love. So that's where I feel like I need something more, I need something different. And I remember at one time I just searched on YouTube, like what else could help? And then breathwork just came to the surface. And I did like a 5-minute breathwork session just following a YouTube video. And within that 5 minutes, my mind was open. My heart was also open. That was the first time I really felt this energetic shift in my body. I didn't have to think about how to feel better. I just feel it in my system. And so that's where I began to like do a lot more research on breathwork and body-based practices, including somatic healing, parts work. And that's when I realized a lot of those old emotions I hold, such as stress, grief, anxiety, they all live in my body. And what I really need is just to get access to the body, because for a long time I live in my mind. I have a really busy mind and meditation didn't work for me. I remember I would sit in a meditation and my mind would go a million miles a minute. It just didn't feel good until I realized that I can use my breath to bypass the mind, drop in my body. And once I can get into my body, and that's when those emotions will begin to soften. And that's when we begin to feel that felt sense of safety, felt sense of love, connection, and all of those beautiful things.
Thank you. Tell me why, for example, I find that when I'm in love, okay, I feel like I'm so free. I feel like so many different synchronicities happen. I feel emotionally balanced. I feel excited about life. I'm joyful. I'm almost like in this bubble of love. And it just appears like clients are attracted to me. And I don't mean physically. I mean, like, they're attracted to, like, working with me. They want to put money in, you know, like they want to invest in whatever I'm doing, and everything feels like it's in flow. And why is it that when I feel sort of like stuck in life, or I feel like, let's say I get a business disappointment, or I have a bad day, or I didn't sleep, then there's that little bit of a, almost like a blockage that appears to be there. And does somatic practices help to kind of unleash and unblock that kind of perceived blockage in my life that then will lead to having more freedom, more wealth, more you know, more abundance, more exciting stuff happening, more help?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love that question, because I can definitely relate to that. There was a time in my life where I feel like I need to wait until my external environment to change in order for me to feel better. I need to get into a relationship so that I can feel loved. I need to have this certain amount of money in my bank account so that I can feel secure. So much of the sense of security and safety coming from the external world. And so I think that's when we become at the mercy of our environment. When things are going well, we feel this fleeting happiness. And then when things are going downhill, we just experience the same feeling of anxiety, stress, restless. Versus somatic healing is truly about creating that felt sense of home, felt sense of safety inside of your body, so that it doesn't have to be dependent on the external things. Because so often we say we need a car, we need a house, we need the money, the relationship. It's not really about those things. It's about the feeling you think those things will give you, the feeling of love, the feeling of safety, the feeling of support. And the good news is that you can cultivate that felt sense of safety inside your body. It doesn't have to be tied to other things or other people. And this is all that's regulating your nervous system, because a lot of people, they live from their parasympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight. We live in a really busy world. We never get a chance to slow down, so we're always on high alert. But if we can use our breath to really regulate our nervous system, one simple, really simple breathing pattern is exhale longer than the inhale. So it could be the 2-4 pattern, like breathing in for 2 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds. So this can really help you slow down, really calming the nervous system, help you feel more grounded. And that's how we can begin to feel less stress, more calm inside of your body without the external world changing. And the beautiful thing about that is once you create that internal shift, it's going to manifest in your external world. If you can feel love inside of your body, you're going to attract love. If you feel abundance in your body, you're going to attract more wealth. So that's the beautiful thing about this work.
Thank you. I found quite interesting that we're always kind of like chasing what we don't have. And what is so fascinating to me is almost like, you know, banks give you money when you don't need money. And I also feel that, for example, when I'm in love, it's like everybody loves me. And I'm thinking, why weren't you here when I really needed this desperately? Why are there like 100 people that want to date me now when I already have one guy? You know, like, I'm not interested in the others, you know? So it's like, how can we How can we get emotionally balanced after relocation or a major life change when we are feeling depressed and when we're feeling sad or we're feeling angry? Does somatic do somatic practices actually work to relieve all of that stress and all of the negative emotions? Or is there anything else that can be done to let go of all of those negative emotions that keep us stuck?
Yeah, I feel like you asked all the beautiful questions. I really love it. So definitely somatic work can be really powerful when it's combined with inner child healing and parts work. So once we get into the body, we want to identify where the sensation is, where the emotion is. Like, I'm going to use an example, maybe it's anger or anxiety. If you were really honest and ask yourself this question, when was the first time you experienced that anger? And if you really dig deeper, you will realize the first time can always be traced back to a single digit number, maybe anytime from 3 to 10 years old. That was usually when that first trauma that happened. Maybe it was something happened in your family, in your childhood. That was the first time you experienced that emotion. And because that emotion was never healed, that's why as we grow up, we just keep triggering that part that was never healed. Life will continue give us content on where we need to heal. So if we decided to not with those triggers, decide to go inward, really ask myself, where do I feel that in our body? When was the first time experienced? And allow that inner child part of you really to express how they really feel, and we hold space for that part of you and give it permission to feel. And also another thing you just touched on is really important: ask that part of you, what does it need the most? Because there is always an emotional need behind every negative emotion, such as anger, anxiety. If you really go deeper, ask what you need, you will realize is, I just need more compassion, I just need more love. And then once we identify that need, there is another part of you that will come online to meet that part of you. That's also your higher self. That's the part of you that's ever present, ever steady, and we all have that part of us exist within us. So this work is all about connecting the inner child part of you with your adult self. And when that two parts of you meet each other, that's when the healing begin to happen. And this is not just happening on a cognitive level, it's happening on a somatic level. We want to find those different parts of you inside your body. And once that's combined with somatic practices, that's when the healing happens.
Thank you. Can I actually, and is it possible for me and someone like me, especially like as an influencer that travels a lot, can I become less dependent on external validation? Because what I find is that, let's say I feel really great today, I go swimming and I feel really attractive, and then I post on social media and then I get, you can say, some love in the form of likes. And let's say there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of like, okay, likes and comments and whatever. And it kind of like gives you the impression that you are loved, but that's external validation. And like, it's true that I feel the self-love as well, even if like there's no audience. Like, I feel it because I dance by myself and I feel in this bubble of love and joy, but I still feel like I need that external validation. So will somatic practices help me to kind of be less dependent on that, to be almost like I don't need that? Because I'm a very touchy feely kind of person. Like, I like to be touched, I like to be cuddled, you know, and I am not dating anyone right now, so I feel kind of like a little bit lonely, you know. But I know that, for example, if I had a person right now in my life, then I know I'd feel love. But that's again an external validation. And what happens as well, it's very much dependent on the other person. Because if the other person wants to see me, then everything is rosy and everything is nice. And let's say that person comes and says, oh, you're so beautiful, or you're so sexy, or you're so attractive, and I really like you and whatever, then everything is good. But let's say that person disappears and ghosts me, all of a sudden it's like, I'm depressed, I don't have anything, like, and all of these likes and so on, they don't matter, because all I want is just that. So like, I guess my question is, can somatic practices help with that?
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So first, I want to name that we all have those basic human needs. We all need validation, support, love, connection. There is nothing wrong with having those needs. And so what's really important is to identify, is this a childhood need or is this my adult self's needs, right? Because if it's coming from a childhood part, a younger part, it will feel like I need this. If I don't have this, I'm going to die. I'm desperate. So that's the need from the childhood part versus an adult need, we all have those too. For example, it could be, I wish I could have more sunshine today. That would make me feel really good. I would like to have a healthy meal. That would really make my body feel better. But if I don't have that, that's fine too. So that is the difference. You can sense the energetic shift between the adult needs versus a childhood needs. So if it's a need that's coming from your adult self, I think that's completely normal. You can have it, but if you don't have it, you still feel okay, versus a childhood need feels desperate. So the somatic healing is really working on the childhood needs. Those needs you feel like, maybe using your example, if someone ghosted you, you feel this hurt in your system. Maybe sometimes it's even resentment. And if we really go down that line to just go deeper, ask yourself, when was the first time you experienced that? Was this a familiar feeling? And the answer could be yes. Maybe you had experience in the past and you never get to heal that part. So we want to just go back to the scene of the crime. That's the words I use. When was the first time that happened? And can we sit with that part? Because oftentimes we don't do that. We try to distract ourselves or date more people just to bypass those things. But this healing work is all about finding those parts in your body. When you feel this resentment, when that time you were ghosted, how did it feel like in your body? And we use titration as well, because sometimes that can feel too overwhelming to feel all of them simultaneously. And we just go back to titration and also using somatic tools to ground yourself, at the same time allowing yourself to feel a little bit more of that. And the more you allow yourself to feel, the more you will begin to heal.
Thank you. So I mean, my dad left when I was 3, and I don't even remember him at all. And I remember that he used to come once a year to visit me, or once every 3 years, and he would never call. And I would say that would be one of the first few instances of being kind of like abandoned. And also my mom would go to work and leave me and my brother at home alone, and we didn't have like anyone to hang out with, and I felt really scared. So I remember not just that instance, but I guess I've been ghosted multiple times by, you know, different people that I wanted to date, and so it's like a recurring thing. So what happens when you have like a recurring experience of ghosting or being abandoned that kind of reflects something that happened in your childhood? Can that actually be healed?
Yeah, absolutely. It just depends on how deep the trauma is, because healing doesn't happen in one day. Sometimes it takes months or years, depends on each individual's experience. But what I would recommend is to start with your survival strategy, because we all have survival strategy. So for example, when you are being ghosted by another person, what are the natural tendency? What are the things you do first? Maybe because some people, I just delete this person's number, or sometimes I fight back, I send them more message. Everyone has a survival strategy. So that's what I'm curious, like, what is your survival strategy when that happened?
I would say generally to pretend like I don't care, delete their number, and then kind of start thinking of, okay, why this happened? Like, just be very, very curious, come up with 100 reasons why they might have done that, and then try to be understanding, and then block them or delete their number, and then try to focus on meeting other people.
Yeah, thank you for being so honest and open about that. I think we can all relate to that. So I'm hearing several survival strategies here. The first one is just to block them, delete their number. The second one is overthinking, maybe create some stories in your mind, just try to rationalize it. That's like the overthinker protector too. So this is something I call the protector. It's the survival strategy you use when you feel that hurt in your system. So that's a very first step, is to understand what is the protector here. It's because this protector is holding you back from really feeling into those emotions you don't want to feel. We want to start healing the protector first. And then the third thing I'm hearing is the distracting part, maybe dating more other people to distract yourself. So there are three protectors here, and we want to heal each of these protectors. For example, if I am using the protector like deleting their number, the first question I would ask is that maybe you can feel that protector in your body too. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. But we would just want to sit with the protector, ask that protector, what's going to happen if it didn't do this to you?
What would have happened if the person didn't ghost me? Is that what you mean?
No, what would happen if you didn't delete this person's number or block this number?
I guess that person would still be in my life, and I would be tempted every time I scroll through the messages, I would be tempted to message this person.
And how does that make you feel emotionally?
Very sad, because it would remember, it would still be something I would focus on. Whereas deleting it is easier, because it kind of creates space. So it's easier actually to forget. And oftentimes when I've done that, I even don't even remember the person's name in the near future. It's a really good method to forget people.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that helps with this particular situation.
Yes.
But the thing is, if the emotion is not healed, life will give us more content in different forms, so that trigger that part again. So what we really want to dive deeper is, what is this protector trying to protect you from? What I'm hearing is that if you don't delete this person's number, you're going to feel sadness. And there might be some other emotions as well. So we do that so that we don't have to feel the sadness. And we also don't want to judge ourselves. We really want to acknowledge that protector, thank you for doing a good job for keeping me safe. I understand that you're deleting this person's number just so that I can feel better. And the moment you begin to acknowledge that protector, you will begin to soften, and it will allow you to really work with that part, that feeling, the sadness, or many other emotions that we haven't felt yet.
Thank you. Yes, definitely there will be resentment, anger, denial, I guess low self-worth as well, thinking like, oh my God, I'm not good enough for this person. And that's why he didn't choose me.
That all of that are validated and acknowledged. It. When we feel all those emotions, we want to bring a lot of love, presence to them. Because sometimes we tend to judge ourselves. Sometimes we feel the shame. We shouldn't have felt this way. But what really helps is to really acknowledge all these emotions you just named, the anger, the rage, I'm not in good enough, all these things, and just letting that be okay. It's okay to feel that. And the moment you begin to acknowledge how you feel and just sit with that in your body, ask yourself, maybe the part that's I'm feeling I'm not good enough, where do you feel that in your body? Whether it's in your solar plexus or somewhere else.
Generally, I think I accumulate all the negative emotions in my throat. And that's one of the reasons why I suffer a lot from sore throat and also migraine. And I think those two areas are the most affected generally.
Yeah, so this can look different for everyone. Sounds like in your experience, it's in the throat. So if you could do a practice, just closing down your eyes and feeling that sensation in your throat, and see if you can find a shape of that sensation. Maybe it's a color. Just see what's going to happen when you just sit with that sensation and emotion. And this is also a tool we use in somatic healing. We want to allow yourself to describe that sensation. And the more you describe it, the more it will soften as well.
Thank you. What else would you like entrepreneurs and people worldwide to know about getting emotionally balanced after relocation or a major life change?
Because for a big part of my journey, I always try to suppress those emotions. I always got this advice, you just need to stay strong, you just need to stay positive. So I'm always trying to hold it together. Until I started doing this inner healing work, I realized that oftentimes we think our power comes from our strengths, our achievements, our status. But in my experience, the greatest power we have is through the portal of love and softness. The more soft we can be with ourselves, the more solid we become. So this work is really, really bring a lot of love, compassion, softness to yourself, to those younger parts of you that still desire your attention, your love, that feels like those things need to come from other people or the outside world, and just trust yourself, really knowing that you have this inner pharmacy within you. You have the ability to give yourself whatever you need, because oftentimes what we think we need from the outside world is exactly what we need within us. And once you find it within, it's going to manifest in your external reality.
Thank you. For people that are perfectionists, which I am, and people that are focused on excellence that don't have any boundaries, do you have any recommendations for them to get emotionally balanced after a major challenge or relocation?
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, when you talk about boundaries, what does that mean to you?
For example, I don't have any. I don't even know what they mean. So what I mean by that is that, let's say, when in the past, when someone was getting like a book publishing package from me, I would try to deliver 1,000 times more than they paid. And that typically led to burnout and, after a while, resentment as well, because it felt almost like I would be better off working in a supermarket. I would be like making more money working in a supermarket, and or a cleaner. I would make more money doing that rather than doing what I'm doing. So initially it was like so good-willed and so, you know, so much energy, so much time and so on put into it. And I thought also a lot of times, especially with people that had paid very little, I felt like they totally did not appreciate what I had done for them. Whereas I felt like the people that were working at the top of their level, like titans, they would pay like 1,000 times more and they would be like so happy because like they got really great results. And perhaps I would deliver a lot less. So that was my experience of, the boundaries, the issue, was that I didn't have any. And if a client asked me for this or that, even if the contract said that they couldn't have it or they would have to pay more, whatever, I would be like, oh, the contract says this, but, you know, don't worry, I'm going to do this extra thing for you. And this extra thing was like endless.
Yeah. I feel that there is I feel there is a need underneath all of that. Sounds like maybe there is a part of you that needs that validation from the clients, that needs of approval. There could be many emotional needs underneath that. So that would be really helpful to identify what you actually need and how can we bring that within ourselves and nourish that part of you. Maybe still feels like I'm not good enough. That's a part I'm sensing here. There might be other parts here. But the other suggestion I have is to really allow yourself to take a pause before you make any decisions, before you say yes or no. Instead of going to the mind, trying to rationalize it, what feels good, what feels bad, really allowing yourself to take a pause and drop into your body and ask yourself, is this a really visceral yes or visceral no? Because sometimes the body has different answers than the one you have in your mind, and the body holds more wisdom. So what does a yes feels good to the body? And what does a no feels good to the body? So that's a simple step I would recommend, just trying to get the answers from your body, from your intuition, from your heart, versus just making those decisions from the mind.
Thank you. How would knowing, for example, whether my people pleasing and my lack of boundaries is about seeking approval, how would knowing that change the kind of treatment you would give me or the kind of recommendations you would give? Because, for example, when I was really young, my grandma used to beat me every day and she would say that I was ugly, stupid, and fat. And I remember that I was top of my class with my average was 9.81 out of 10. And I remember she was saying, like, why isn't it 10 out of 10? And anything I did, it was like, okay, why didn't you get a 10 if I ever got a 9? It was like a massive deal. I had to explain myself, and she would beat me and she would throw things at me, or she would punch me in the face or threaten to like kill me. So I was really terrified. So and I remember as well that if I ever tried to kind of talk when she was talking, or like if I ever tried to say, like, please don't beat me or whatever, she would be like, oh, so you won more. You want me to beat you even further. So like, how would knowing this impact like what you would suggest for me?
Yeah, I'm just really sorry to hear about all these experiences. That must be super tough to deal with. And thank you for sharing that. So honestly. So the need is definitely seeking approval, and this kind of goes back to a lot of childhood trauma. And I'm also hearing some protective strategy here, maybe becoming perfectionist, high achieving, and always trying to meet other people's needs. So these are just a protective strategy we developed that's trying to protect those younger parts of you. So again, the first question I would still ask is, what is this survival strategy trying to protect you from? What are the emotions you're avoiding to feel? Because I'm hearing maybe there is the feeling of fear, maybe it's grief, maybe it's loneliness. There's so many things going on underneath that, and don't rush the process. Each time, work with just one part. For example, if this time we just maybe hold space for the part that feels scared, maybe when that happened, or like allowing yourself to maybe just feel that fear in your body. Where do you feel that? Maybe it's in your chest, in your throat, like you said, and just sit with that sensation. And when you begin to allow yourself to sit with that, breathe into it, because breath can be really helpful for you to sit with those feelings so that it's less overwhelming. Breath can be helpful. And for some other emotions, such as grief, we also have somatic movements like heart opening technique. And sometimes with stress, anxiety, we can use tapping. And so there are different somatic movements that can help as well. So when these things are combined, that's when we begin to feel slightly better. Those emotions will begin to soften, and they will eventually be released. And then you will connect to that adult version of you. Sometimes we call it higher self, that knows better, that knows your truth, that's operating from love, peace, and connection.
Thank you. And tell us why somatic breathing and somatic practices, why do they work?
Why do they work?
Yeah.
So that's a good question, because a lot of this is about neuroscience, the nervous system regulation. So basically in our body, we have this thing called vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve is the longest nerve we have that connects with the body and the mind. And through this vagus nerve, 80% of the information is sent from the body to the mind, and only 20% is sent from the mind to the body. So this explains why sometimes when we work only on the level of the mind, the cognitive reasoning, we are only doing 20% of the work. But when we work with the body, work with the sensations, use the breath, the somatic movements to get into the body, we're doing 80% of the healing work. So that's how this explains from the nervous system regulation perspective. But also, if you just think of this like a normal example I can give you, let's say if you have a really busy day and you sit in front of your laptop, you feel like everything hurts, I cannot get the work done, I've been working too much, it just feels really intense. And now if you shut down your laptop, you go out for a walk, you breathe, you recharge your body, and then you come back to your laptop, your productivity goes through the roof, because we have changed the energetics in the body, and now you become more productive. Versus if we just talk ourselves into this, we try to convince ourselves doing those affirmations, it may not have the same effect. That's why your body has a bigger impact than your brain when it comes to these emotional states.
Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to share? And if not, please tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you so they can discover as well how they can get emotionally balanced after a major life change.
Yeah, absolutely. So because this is deeply related to my personal experience, I left home when I was 16 years old, and since then live in 6 cities around the world. I went through many different transitions, relocations, so I know how overwhelming this can be. That is why today I mostly support with expats, immigrants, digital nomads, entrepreneurs who are traveling the world, and help them build that felt sense of home within so that you can feel more at peace no matter where life is taking you. And you can find me on my website tracyzhang.com, and also my social media Tracy Zhang Coaching on YouTube, TikTok, and I also use Instagram.
Thank you. Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.